Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Terrible.
Yay. I don't know why you're doing this to me. I'm walking around, and my wife's like, when are you going to snap out of this? I'm like, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know when I'm going to snap out of it.
I'll be honest, I got yelled at too for this yesterday.
I mean, she also sees me. I actually slept until 3 o'clock this afternoon. I actually got some decent sleep, and the alarm woke me up, which is always nice. And I was sitting there on the couch. She walks in at usually like 3:15 or so, and like, she's like, how are you? I'm like, I'm okay. She's like, when is this going to stop? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to get over it.
I worked the afternoon show, got home, and then did digital for the Yankee game. I'm clipping the John Sterling highlights to post online, and I'm just miserable. I'm tired and miserable, and it's midnight.
No, this is, it's misery. Walking around is misery. And then plus, like, the other thing is, you know, by no means, you know, it's just, today I'm trick-or-treating in the neighborhood. I live in a great neighborhood, and we have a bunch of families that are friendly, and we walk around the neighborhood. And I've also noted, like, now we've all given up, by the way. Like, it used to be a somewhat common theme to just leave a bowl of candy on the porch. Now it's just everyone. Nobody answers the door. Nobody is there. Nobody bothers. Everybody just puts out a cauldron of candy. And when it's empty, maybe they refill it. Maybe they don't. But, and you know what? I wish my house, my neighborhood, a lot of the houses are, like, back off the street. We should constitute a rule where you got to put a table and that bag of candy right on the street, because the kids walking up the house, that it takes forever. But we have completely given up. Nobody's home. And I understand, I'm not home. I'm out with the kids. So we had to put a bowl of candy out because, you know, I'm not home in the hands of the door. I'm out with my own kids. So I get it. But it just feels like now it's all, like, nobody's ever home. Nobody, you never ring a doorbell. You never knock on a door. You just take one, please. But when I see people, and especially with my two kids dressed as Judge and Stanton, but also because the neighborhood, you know, we're friends, so they know me, they know what I do. And everybody's like, I'm sorry. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk.
Like, that's the worst.
It's either,
the non-sports fans who are texting me. I don't need to hear from, you know, my girlfriend's grandma.
I know. All the women of the neighborhood are like, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, it's okay. And all the guys are like, can you believe it? Freaking Aaron Boone's a moron. I'm like, I know. I'm not having this argument with you as well as everyone on Twitter and my radio show, so it's not happening. And that's it. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
Do you ignore the texts?
Yeah, I mean, I just write back with yep or no, I know, unbelievable.
But you reply at least.
Yeah, it depends No, definitely. And when people want to talk about it, I try and talk about it a little bit, but I got to do it here. I don't want to do it I can't. It's really tough. This one's really tough, I have to admit. I am sick to my stomach after that inning. Sick to my stomach. And now.
Terrible.
When I'm thinking, and I said to someone, he was like, when are you going to feel better? I'm like, when they sign Juan Soto. Like, that's it. That's the only thing that's going to snap me out of this thing.
It's the type of loss that you don't get over until they actually get over the hump.
Yeah. No, it's
actually,
just,
and win it all.
And I said this.
Because if Aaron Judge hits 50 home runs in the regular season, no one's going to care.
No, I know. And his legacy is definitely now up for debate. I mean, I heard BT going on a big rant about it. I talked about it yesterday, like, that drop ball that leads to that inning. I mean, that's right now his signature moment. It's not the home run that he hit. It's not the home run against Class A. It's not even being terrible offensively this entire postseason. That'll be kind of remembered. The moment, though, is that drop pop-up and what it led to. I mean, I know it's not a pop-up necessarily, but a fly ball or a little bit of a humpback line drive. Like, that ball just has to be caught. It's a killer moment for him. It's a killer moment for the team. And honestly, yeah, you're right. I mean, we'll get excited about it. They were going to cheer him. We're going to go nuts. He's going to win a game against the Red Sox. He's going to hit 55 home runs if he's healthy. He's going to have a great season. And we're all applauding him. He might win his third MVP for all we know. That's how great he is right now. And we'll all get behind him and everything, but there's no doubt it starts the second the playoffs start, the second they get it, it's obvious they're going to make the playoffs or whatever. Like, it begins. Like, none of this matters. All that matters is how he performs in the postseason. Like, he's got to wear that forever. And this, whether it's how he played this entire postseason, and then that drop pop up, and he actually was turning on. That's what like sucks, because he like you. He would have went to LA and friggin' mashed. Like, I have no doubt.
Oh, you know, they were winning that series. If they go on to win that game 10-0, which they were on the road to doing, yeah, they win the World Series. There's no
doubt. Don't say that.
There's no doubt.
Don't know that. Yes, there is. Come on. That's not fair. They have to go into LA and beat them twice. I don't know about broken, but they had. I agree with you. You needed that 10-0 dominant victory to really put a scare into them. And even if they would have won that game, even if Canley gets three outs and then Weaver comes in, they allowed the Dodgers back.
Right. That's exactly my
point. Yeah, I know. I agree.
It was the blowout win.
Yeah.
But you said something interesting earlier that I actually wanted to ask you about. You said that once they tied it, you thought it was over.
Yes.
Isn't that an indictment on the Yankee team, on the Yankee organization?
That they
don't have any, they can't get up off the mat? Like, they talked about after game three that they still haven't recovered from game one, and that's why they were flat in game three.
I get it. Maybe it's just, I didn't take it as they couldn't win it. It's just like, I've watched baseball for a million years. You can't play like that and win. You can't have that inning, blow that lead, and then come back and win.
Think about the Cubs, the Roger Davis home run, and they come back and win that
game.
That's
true.
About earlier Yankee teams, the Aaron Hicks game in Minnesota is the best example. How many times did they blow it, and they kept coming back, right?
Yeah, I know, but. Not so self-inflicted. Like, he gave up a home run to Rajay Davis. If Gerrit Cole gives up a grand slam to Mookie Betts and it's 5-4, I'll live with it. Like, I can't have the not covering first base. Like, I can't live with it. And you can't, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't know.
And now you have to live with it.
And now I have to live with it. Until they sign Juan Soto. And let's just talk about Juan Soto real quick. We're going to get to the calls. I promise you this is going to be a 2-minute thing. Real quick on Juan Soto. And I talked a little bit about it yesterday. The Yankees are going to go places you don't think the Yankees will go. I'm telling you right now. I don't know if they'll go as high as Steve Cohen. But before we even get to the Juan Soto decision aspect of it, let's just talk about the New York Yankees and Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner has shown a reluctance over time, over years, at different players. Freddie Freeman was one I just mentioned. They had every opportunity in the world to sign Freddie Freeman to play for his base. Had no interest. Had every opportunity in the world to get Manny Machado. Every opportunity in the world to get Bryce Harper. Didn't do it. They will go out and get their stars, though. And when they think they need someone, and they clearly need Juan Soto, they will go out and get it. And Juan Soto is a superstar. Juan Soto brings a level of gravitas and excitement and eyeballs, and he saw it. We saw it. Like, I think even if you say Hal Steinbrenner is about business, this is business. He will make his money back giving Juan Soto the mega deal. He will make his money back. It will bring, hopefully, winning and more gates like this, which they just made a ton of extra money playing every one of the three games in the World Series. And they will make money. I'm telling you, if it goes to $700 million, I think he'll go there. I think they have no excuse not to be the top. I heard Evan today, both teams, Mets and Yankees, have no excuse not to be the high bidder. I don't know if the Yankees want to get into a bidding war with the richest man in the sport. But I do think there is a real good chance of a conversation with Juan Soto where they go, what's the number that gets it done? And Juan Soto might say an outrageous number, and the Yankees might just say yes. Like, I do believe, like, if he says 15 years, I heard Evan again, 15 years, $750 million. 50 years, $50 million a year, 15 years. I think the Yankees might say yes. Now, I think they'll say, I'm not playing this game where now, oh, well, we just got off the phone with Steve Cohen and he said 775. Like, I don't think they can get into that game because they can't win it. They can't win that game. He'll always have more money. And if it's just simply about playing that game for Juan Soto, then yeah, he'll probably go somewhere else. He'll probably go play for the Mets if he's that firm on getting Juan Soto. Now, with his new with his owner and talking about hamstringing the organization and all the different things, he might not want to bring in a $50 million player. He might think Juan Soto's worth $45 million and that's about all we should be spending on him. I don't know. But I honestly think there will come. There is a very good chance that the Yankees say, look, I'm not playing this game with you but because I can't win it. But what's the number that you're willing to come back for? And then the question is whether Juan Soto's willing to do that type of thing. And I don't know. But I refuse to believe everybody else does. All right? Like everybody knows Juan Soto's thoughts. Everybody knows, because of how he answered questions, how Juan Soto thinks. Let me tell you something. Nobody knew how Aaron Judge thought. Nobody. Oh, he's pissed at Cashman. He won't come back. He's going to go to San Francisco and go home. Blah, 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 blah. And now everything you hear, he took less money to come back, and now he's doing interviews with Mookie. He's doing podcasts with Mookie Betts, saying it was always New York. We have no idea. These guys don't tip their thought process at all. Juan Soto's not going to come back here for $100 million less. No, of course not. But I'm telling you right now, if there is a number the Yankees are willing to go to, there is a good chance Juan Soto wants to stay here. He provides, the Yankees provide everything he would want. Money, success, winning. And I know, like, the idea, oh, this ridiculous organization, they can't win, it's been 15 years. He was just in the World Series with them. They don't think this way. They don't think, oh my God, you know, we don't cover the, we don't get the cutoff man right. We'll never win. They don't think that. They think, I was just in the World Series with Aaron Judge. This team can win. They put money in this team. I can win every year with the Yankees. We have no idea what Juan Soto is thinking. Nobody does. Nobody knows he's after every last penny. Nobody knows anything. Nobody, oh, I could tell by his tone. Oh, I could tell by the way he answered the questions. He spoke in the past tense. He didn't mention it. Yeah. He's been waiting for this. He's been trained for this. He knows how to ask. And here's the other aspect of it. Juan Soto, 10 minutes after the World Series ends, might not even know how he feels. He might get away from it and go, you know what, I really miss those guys. I miss that group. I love playing there. Scott, who knows? Or he might go, yeah, now that I think about it, I'm kind of excited about the idea of going somewhere else. I don't know. The way he answered questions 10 minutes after the World Series ended is zero indication into what his thought process is or even what his thought process will be in the coming weeks. Getting away from it might change his perspective. Like, I'm so tired of it. Nobody knows. We don't know. The one thing I feel like we can be confident in is the other side of it. I think you can be confident in two things if you're a New York Yankee fan and a New York Met fan. I think these are fairly confident to say. Both teams are in it. The New York Yankees will go higher than you think. But ultimately, if it comes down to every last penny, if Steve Cohen wants him, Steve Cohen's going to get him. I think those are locked in. The Yankees are going to go there with Steve to a point. But if Steve's determined, they can't match. And if Juan Soto wants every single penny, and that's all that matters, and the Mets provide enough of the other stuff he wants, he'll be a Met. But I think they'll be pretty damn close. And we have no idea how Juan Soto feels about the situation. None. And we have seen multiple stars turn down more money. Didn't we just saw a Judge turn down less money to be a Yankee? More money to be a Yankee, excuse me. We saw Trey Turner turn down more money to be a Philadelphia Philly. We saw the shortstop for the Cubs. What does Dansby Swanson apparently turned down more money to go play for Chicago. Like, there's no reason why Juan Soto would say, the Yankees just offered me $750 million. Okay, the Mets offered me $775. Like, do I need that $25 million at this point? Everybody's so sure he'll say, yeah, I want that $25 million. We'll find out. 888-808-1019. Barry in Freehold. What's up, Barry?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Like all Yankee fans,
It's gonna take time, man. I need the weekend bad. I need a martini tonight when I get home. When I get home, I'm gonna sleep. But I need my Friday night martini. I need to just watch the Penguin. I need to get away from this thing. Hey.
You live in New York or New Jersey?
I live in New York. I live in upstate New York.
Weed's legal in New York. How about a nice juicy joint?
How about a nice juicy Eva. Joint? Okay, I like the martinis better, but there was a time in my life, Barry. Time in my life.
Oh, man. No more?
No, not really.
Wife and kids.
Wife and kids.
I mean, like, just, never or...
Well, I mean, listen, this isn't the appropriate place for it, Barry. But, I've partaken, you know, I mean, I never say never or anything. But if right. I'm going to go home and relax, it's going to be a cocktail.
Listen, it's 2 a.m. radio, you know, nobody under 21.
Yeah, it's true. Nobody's listening, right? What's the difference?
No, under 21. Over 21, there are. Anyway, yeah, no, what I was thinking was next year for 2025, and this might sound like a ridiculous idea, mm-hmm. but I think has some merit. Don't be too angry at this, but the Yankee front office should hire the players from 96 to 98, meaning I'm talking about the players who are currently in the organization, you know, playing an active role. Paul O'Neill, Andy Pettit, you see him practicing with the pitchers. Why can't they make those guys, David Cone, obviously, why can't they make those beloved Yankees mm-hmm. got us to where we are today? You know, like, we're you know, the guys, the people who grew up in the 90s, like I did, and I'm sure you did, you know, that's who we look up to. We know that those are winning players. So why doesn't the Yankee front office hire those guys, the guys who are interested, obviously?
Yeah.
Tito Martinez, teach first base. Really, that would draw more of a crowd, I think, to the stadium, and I think it would actually work.
Yeah,
it would be crazy enough to work because it would instill this winning culture that they had, and that for whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what makes Tino Martinez a hitting coach? Like, I mean, he was a very good player. Don't get me wrong, but that doesn't, you know, one, he's not Tony Gwynn, and he's not like. What makes you think he can be a hitting coach? And the same thing, like, yeah, Andy Pettit could be around the team, and they want him to be around the team. And these guys are all invited, but, like, you can't recreate 98 by bringing the guys around to be coaches. That's not how it works. You can't just do that. You can't just say, oh, let's bring in all those guys with all the success of yesteryear, and suddenly it'll rub off on them. Paul O'Neill doesn't want to be a coach. Paul O'Neill wants to, you know, come in, you know, 10 times a year for 10 weekend, you know, or 7 weekend series a year, and that's it. He doesn't want to be a coach and be in uniform and travel with the team and be away from his family. I doubt it. Like, I wouldn't hire Derek Jeter to be the executive of this team. One, like, he didn't do a great job with Miami, and two, you're going to have to fire him at some point. Like, I don't know when. I know GMs around here get, you know, lifelong contracts. But I just, you can't recreate these guys. You can't go backwards. You're not going to recreate 1998 by bringing in 1998 players. Graham Lloyd being your bullpen coach is not going to solve the problem. It's just not. And I did have a question about David Cone, though. Hasn't David Cone typically been a part of the Yes Network, like postseason stuff? Like, I didn't see David Cone at all on any of the World Series or any of the divisional. Did I miss David? I didn't see David Cone do anything.
I didn't see him. No, and I watched a lot
any
of
any live
yes
reports.
Stuff.
It was just Kay and O'Neill from the field. I didn't see any of Cone. So I was surprised I didn't see David Cone in any of the post game stuff, any of the pregame stuff. Nothing from David Cone. Flaherty was there, obviously, and it was Kay and O'Neill. I didn't see any David Cone, but you can't go backwards. Can't go backwards, guys. Ross in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, C-Mac. How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Doing good. You know, real quick, piggyback off that last caller. You know, my gut-wrenching, deflating loss, so the biggest one I can remember in my lifetime, at least, was this past June in Sunrise, Florida. I wish I was old enough that I could be able to drink my sorrows away pouring out a glass of Casamigos or something.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, listen, you know, and I know Evan's got his Independent Baseball whatever he says in the afternoon.
IBO.
I'll kind of come at you from that perspective with your Yankees, and I'll say, like, you know, the way they lost Game 5, obviously the pop-up and Cole not covering the base, I don't know how you even teach that stuff. That should be, like, basic fundamentals that players, to the names that Judge and Cole, some of the best players in the league, obviously.
Yeah.
How do you even, like, teach that to them? That should be something just in the back. Like, I don't, you know, people
that,
put in the finger
you, that
boom,
you pick up,
the front office.
That you pick up before they even get signed by a major league team. Yep, 100%.
I mean, Judge flat out, I think I heard somewhere it was his only ever on the year.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not even like it was an ongoing problem. You say Volpe had, the least effect or detrimental error of the three in that inning. Volpe had the error. I mean, that was kind of an ongoing thing with him. You can make the point there. Cole was just a mental thing, and Judge was legitimately flawless all year. So I don't even know where you point the finger there.
Right.
The guy brought up, you know, you're talking about Tino being a hitting coach. Yeah, go down to Miami.
Yeah,
Barry Bonds being their hitting coach. Yeah,
right.
Everybody got better except for Stanton once they left Miami with the best hitter of all time teaching them how to hit a baseball.
No, you're not wrong. Didn't Tino take the job down there and put his hands on kids or whatever? Or put his hands on young players? I think there was like an issue where he. But I mean, the kids were the players were disrespectful or something. So like, there was an issue with Tino Martinez and working with Miami or Tampa, one of those teams in Florida. I remember the story from back then.
We've seen a lot of examples of how being a great player doesn't automatically make you a great coach. Well, at Apple Star, and just look at Wayne Gretzky coaching in hockey. It was a disaster. And I'm sure there's a bunch of, like Roberto Bonds, there's probably a bunch of other examples in baseball. I just don't know. And that's probably what makes it even more aggravating is I don't think there's a finger to point to. It seems like, I wouldn't say they peaked, but it seems like in terms of the AL, they're doing as much as they can. Look, everybody the whole season was talking about the big bad Orioles. They put up one run against the Royals, who were apparently, you want to talk about on the same token, the Royals, who weren't even a postseason team in the first place. Baltimore was so big, bad, and mighty, could only put up one run against them, and when they play the Yankees, and I'm no Yankee lover, I'm not trying to come off as a Yankee show, like, people have you up to me, I got no love for the Yankees.
Right.
But the Orioles teams, you call the Blue Jays fraud, I think the Orioles are even more fraud.
The Orioles are supposed to win this division by a mile. Yeah, I mean the Yankees baseball reference had the Yankees possibly winning 60 games this year. Like it's crazy. Like some of the projections were nuts and the Yankees went out and won the American League.
And then another team that got brought up before too was the Padres, and it feels like with that core they've had for the last couple of years, the fact that they don't have multiple rings feels like a disappointing.
Yeah.
The core they've had, let alone missing the playoffs outright last year. I mean, Juan Soto, who's been like the hottest name in the city the last couple months. Tatis is probably the most electric young bat in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Machado. Machado, you see how he's fixing problems out there. People want him here. I think kind of that you brought up Freeman, I think, and Harper's kind of the same deal. He hasn't done much for Philly. I maybe changed the culture. He hasn't brought the grand prize to Philly.
No.
And I think Freeman's kind of the one outlier, and I think the biggest kick to the nuts with that is everybody looks at the money he's making per year and compares it to the penny is the exact same money AAV-wise that Carlos Rodon is making. And I think that's just one of the
100%.
Many gut punches in all of it.
So, no, you're 100%.
Spooky season.
Yep.
It's a horror movie on loop, man.
It's crazy. And thank you for the call. Great call. Yeah, they chose to not pay Freddie Freeman and put that money into Carlos Rodon. That's a mistake. That is an epic, 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 epic mistake. No doubt. Cashman is not above making mistakes, especially with the pitching department. And I want to clarify Tino Martinez. Yeah, he was a first year with the Miami Marlins as a hitting coach. He was accused of verbal abuse and, you know, grabbing a guy by the shirt or the jersey or something. So he resigned because of it. And you know what? Maybe the Yankees could use a little bit of that attitude. I mean, like, I don't know about physical abuse, but more mental abuse, and I think it was blown over, and it was like they weren't listening. It was like young rookies who, I feel like I remember the story that young rookies were, you know, not doing some of the little things he was asking them to do, and he was yelling at them. But again, the baseball, today the players are different, not just in the Yankees, not just with the Marlins. They're completely different people. They will not respond to the same thing. You know, Lombardi would not do well in today's NFL. Like, it's a different thing. People are different. These kids growing up are different. It's a different world.
Our generation's the worst.
Generations is just the worst. You know, everyone's generation's always, you know. So it was always better before. That's every generation was always better prior. But I love Tino Martinez, and I would love to have him around the team. I want all of them around the team. I'm not opposed to it, but the idea, oh, we'll just hire all of the guys from 1998 and recreate that stuff. Like, you just can't do it. Can't do it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan till 5 o'clock. We'll be right back.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 2:34. Let's get right to the calls. I feel like I've rambled on a bit at different times. It's kind of what I do. Let's get right to the calls here this segment. Let's get to Brad in Middletown. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Listen, I want to make a couple of comments. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, there's no question about that Juan Soto, actually, people might not agree with me with this, was the main reason why the Yankees made as far as they did, because he got over 100 RBIs. Him and Judge combined with over 200 RBIs for that team. I don't think anybody else even came that close.
Okay.
So I think Juan Soto is worth keeping, but what do you think? Now, the Dodgers opened up a whole new network. Do you think the Yankees would offer Nick Rosso $700 million if they were allowed to defer the contract?
Sorry, Brad, your phone. Did he say would the Yankees offer him? Yeah, the Yankees would be into. I would think the Yankees would be offered it, would be willing to defer money. I don't know how much money he'd want to defer. That contract, the Ohtani contract, is crazy because Ohtani's willing to do it. Who doesn't want to get paid now? I mean, you understand the benefits of it for him, where he's going to save on the tax and he's going to get that money later where he's living somewhere that, you know, it won't be taxed the way California taxes money now and different things like that. It helps the team build around him and helps him win. But, I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, who doesn't want to get paid now? You know, that guy in Popeye who would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today, like they're not around. Like, I don't know too many people who will pay, give you a hamburger today for a hot dog, for money on Tuesday. Like, that's, so for him to be willing to do that, I don't know if he's going to want to do that. Maybe some of the money gets deferred, not the amount that Ohtani deferred. And it ultimately, like, they say it ends up being more like $500 million than $700 million when you take into the money he could be making by investing that, put it in the bank. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just, not many people are going to want to put away that much money. Now, he's already made good money. He made $30 million this year. He's got money. He's not going to want for money necessarily, but I just don't think many people would be willing. That Ohtani contract is crazy because, like, I remember listening to GMs talk, and they were like, I wouldn't have even thought to offer him that. Like, that is such a crazy out there. I would have felt like I would have insulted him by offering him something where that much of the money is deferred. So, if we're going to say that and say it confidently that Juan Soto wants every penny he can get, well, it's less pennies if you defer that much of it. So, yeah, the idea that he'll get a $900 million contract and we'll defer it all at the end of the 15 years or whatever, like, yeah, I don't see that happening. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
Wow, did you just invoke Wimpy from Popeye?
I certainly did. Is that his name, Wimpy?
Okay. Well, allow me to invoke a cartoon image. That fifth inning could have been in the Gas House Gorillas episode of Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, the inning? I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry. Inning. Yeah, the fifth inning is something like Bugs Bunny. The fifth inning is like
the Gas House Gorillas. Well,
Angels in the outfield, and Christopher Lloyd is just kicking the ball all over the place, playing hacky sack with the ball and watching the, you know, it's just a joke.
All right. Yeah. I'm starting to be triggered with PTSD after that. MLB PTSD. So anyway, Chris, we talked about this. Let's say if the Yankees would devote all their resources to signing Soto.
Yeah.
and did nothing else, right? We kind of discussed what the team would look. How about this? Because, hypothetically, I didn't want to bring up any other hypotheticals other than that at the time. But let's say he signed somewhere else. Which guys could you see the Yankees? And I'll tell you what. You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
I'm thinking just I could see Pete Alonso in Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say there are at least five fly balls that he hit to right field?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That would go out in Yankee. At least that many this year. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. And you know, Pete Alonso isn't a – like, if they sign Juan Soto and then the Yankees do Pete Alonso, I don't know. He hits home runs, obviously, and he's a good player. I think he's more valuable to the Mets than anybody else. But if the point is they're going to put in all this money into Juan Soto and the owner is still determined on some level to not live in the $300 million payroll world, which, again, I don't think it means, like, he won't go there occasionally. Like, it's not like I'm never going to 300. Like, if you sign Juan Soto and the next couple years you have to get to 300 because of the money you had to give Juan Soto and you still want to compete with a winning team, like, I think he'd still be willing to do that, but, like, he doesn't want to live there forever. And you pay your superstars and then you supplement around it with young talent. And right now you would think, right, next year you're not paying your starting shortstop in Volpe. You're not playing your starting catcher in Wells. Either your starting third baseman or second baseman, Jazz Chisholm, isn't really getting paid big yet. He hasn't had to get the contract yet. You got Jason Dominguez in the outfield and center field, most likely. So you got your center fielder under small contract. Your bullpen, you live with continuing to do what you've been doing and finding guys. Like, you probably don't go out and pay for a big-time closer. You probably, if, you know, Weaver's going to be on the cheap, they're going to pick up a cheap option on Weaver. So you got your closer for next year. So they do have some options there to go with young and inexpensive options there. But then it depends on what you want to do at first base. Do you want to go out and pay money to Christian Walker? Probably the most prominent free agent first baseman. I would love that. He's a great player. Do you want to try and figure else something out? Do you want to bring back Rizzo on a cheap, cheap deal? Like, they're going to have to do those things, no doubt. But hopefully the team is talented enough where you can, you're going to have your starting rotation pretty much set, right? You're going to have Cole under contract. You have Rodon under contract. And whatever we think of him in the big moment, I still think over the course of the regular season, you got yourself a decent starting pitcher there. Not what you would hope, not worth the money, but a decent starting pitcher. You got Cole, you got Rodon. I think they'll probably find a way to get rid of Stroman. You got Luis Gil, you got Clark Schmidt, and you might go out there and sign one or two more starters. I think Nestor Cortes is still under. Find out Nestor Cortes' contract situation. He might be under one more year or something, but I wouldn't go in there guaranteeing him anything. He would be one of the guys I would consider for the fifth man. And a couple more dollars there into the starting rotation. But you got to figure out left field, and you got to figure out first base. Those are the places where now I would hope that they would go out and get really good players there and improve. And then you got Juan Soto. And again, we forget, like, even if you pay Juan Soto $50 million a year, even if you pay $50 million for Juan Soto, he made $30 million this year, 31 or 32. You're only jumping up $18 million. And that's if he gets 50, which I don't know if he will.
One more year of control on Nestor.
So they have one more year of control of Nestor. So Nestor will be back, unless they trade him for something. But you got Nestor could be back, Clark Schmidt, Luis Gil, Cole, Rodon, one more good starting rotation piece, and then figure out the fifth spot would be great. You got left field you got to figure out, first base you got to figure out. And I would hope that they would be willing to spend money there. Again, they're saving some money coming off the books. You're going to save some money. I think Donaldson did have $6 million left on the books from this year. So you got Donaldson, six. You got Rizzo coming off. You got Clay Holmes coming off. You got some money coming. Gleyber Torres and his money coming off. That alone right there probably pays for the difference in Juan Soto's $30 million to Juan Soto's $50 million. Then you got to go out and add more payroll. They're already at around $300 million, but they'll have to add more for left field and first base. But those are the two pieces. Other than that, you're going to have to count on youth. Maybe you play Jazz at third base and you bring up Peraza or Vivas or another option inside the organization to be your second baseman. And then you invest in left and first, and that's really the only places you invest. You've got a Jazz at third, Volpe at shortstop, a young kid prospect at second base. Invest in first, invest in left.
Still have John Birdie under control.
John Birdie under control. There you go. John Birdie could be your second baseman.
DJ LeMahieu. Oh, you know, that contract's right. Not going anywhere.
Son of a bitch, DJ LeMahieu. Forgot about that.
I saw him on the street the other day.
Yeah, I've seen him around here, too.
He lives here.
Yeah, he lives around here. I've seen him around here, too.
I didn't say anything to him.
Yeah, neither did I. I didn't say anything to my kids were so upset when I told them. Damian Priest, who's been a Yankee, after he won the title, he came and did thing at Yankee Stadium, throughout the first pitch. I saw him in the Ford Club for game four. And I didn't say anything. I don't know why I never say anything to anybody. I feel awkward saying anything.
I said hi to, who was it, Clark Schmidt earlier this year when he was rehabbing. We locked eyes. I was wearing a Yankee something, and I was just
Was he around here, too?
Yeah, I've seen. When I was walking on Greenwich.
Yeah, I've seen Clark Schmidt, too. That's so funny. The two people, I've seen LeMahieu and Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt, there's like that breakfast spot on Hudson with like the couple of tables on the, it's like right on the corner of Hudson and something, I don't know. And he was What?
Maman, is that what it is? Maman, like M-A-N-M-A-N?
Yeah, I don't know if that's it. I think it's across the street from that.
Okay.
But yeah, and there's some benches there, and he was sitting there like eating a croissant with a couple of buddies, and I walked right past him.
Yeah, if he was sitting down, he was getting out of an Uber, and he like was like looking around, and he looked like he just got back from somewhere. It was during the All-Star break while he was hurt.
But yeah, I didn't say hi to Damian Priest. I should have taken a picture for the kids. It's for the kids. Should have done it.
My brother took a picture. He was at the Yankee game, and he was also on that level or whatever. But my brother's not a sports fan, so he sent me a picture of him and Carmelo Anthony, and he said, someone told me to send this picture to you. I don't know who this is.
Sitting in front of us. I don't know who this is. Bobby Bacala, or obviously... now I'm losing train of thought. Steve Sciarripa was sitting right in front of us.
He was here. He came into the after. I met him here. He came into the afternoon show with Evan.
I've met him before. He came in with Mike once too, like right after James Gandolfini passed away. He was in here talking about, they did a special on James Gandolfini or something. He was in here promoting it, and he's got a connection with the charity at MSG that Mike had a connection with. So I've actually met him a few times, but he was sitting there. Believe it or not, Andrew Miller, former Yankee reliever, Cleveland Guardian reliever, big home run, Greg Bird, never forget. Andrew Miller was sitting right in front of us. Weird one. But the stars come out. Keith is texting me. I didn't get to meet as many stars as Keith gets to meet. But I saw a couple. I don't know what we were talking about. What were we talking about? Doesn't matter. 888-808-1019. Sal in Las Vegas. What's up, Sal?
Hi. Jets fan here, listen to your show all the time, first time calling your show. Two things I want to vent on. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that the Jets won and brought us a little bit of happiness, first thing I want to vent about, Malachi Corley. We all know it's a stupid play, stupid mistake.
Yes.
But how many times...
You better hold him accountable.
How many times does this play happen across the sport? In college and pro,
I know.
For players to realize it. It almost happened last week with Kyle Pitts of the Falcons, but the pylon cam wasn't working, so he almost made the mistake last week. That's the first thing I wanted to vent on.
It's almost like a weird, like, mental thing that's kind of like, it's bizarre. You're right. It's such a blatant weird mistake. Such an carry the ball across the goal line seems pretty obvious. It's so prevalent and happens so frequently. It's such a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. But yet it happens. You're right. He's not alone. We see it over and over and over. Someone's got to do a study on it, a documentary on it. Why does that play happen as much as it does?
The players have such privilege and entitlement. All they care about is getting in front of the camera when they score and doing their choreographed dance or taunting or showing up the opponent. They have no respect for the game.
You think that? I don't know, because guys spike the ball. Guys do things with the ball.
It's ridiculous. And I'll nitpick. I know you probably won't agree. I'll nitpick this a little further before I get to my next point if I have time. Notice Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams when they score their first touchdowns. Not the good catch, but the first touchdown. They're both carrying the ball away from their body like Deion Sanders entering the end zone. It's like they don't learn anything. They don't prevent anything. They do almost the same thing that Corley just did. But now
that's not nearly the same thing, yeah. And, I know, but we've seen that a lot.
It's careless.
I guess Devontae Adams knew he had separation. He wasn't going to get hit. Like, I hear what you're saying, but it's not nearly the same as dropping it before the end zone. Like that's insane.
You're right. I know. I'm nitpicking a little far fetched, but I'm a Jets fan, and I see the worst of the worst every week.
The
last thing I want to vent about would a team that's now 3-6. And yes, they won a game. They were definitely the better team tonight. Yeah. The score could have been even more lopsided. But as an angry Jets fan that's fed up with this team, they owe us a lot more than this one win. And when I say that, I mean I don't need to see Breece Hall getting a first down and pointing that he got the first down. I don't need to see Quinnen Williams getting a sack when you're down 7-0 and doing a choreographed dance with the rest of the defensive line. Get back in the huddle and prep for the next play.
Sal, I think you're going way too far. This is the NFL. They have fun. They do this. Everyone does it. I know they're losing. I know they're the Jets. Come on. You're Mr. No Fun League right there. Like,
they
relax.
Need to be more sanguine.
Relax. These guys, that's what they do. They said they didn't do it in a losing effort. Like, I could understand that. Like, that's when it bothers me. If you're down 40-0 and then you're celebrating a touchdown, that can get to me. But just that the overall, they haven't been performing over the last couple of weeks or over the last couple of years or whatever. You're the New York Jets. Get it together. I mean, come on. Come on. Unfortunately, that was very get off my lawn type stuff there. It just was. Like, they're going to celebrate. And they should. If that what gets them going, gets them pumped up, gets them playing better, we've seen it over and over again. They are not alone. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. All right, this is, it's not the 19, it's not Jim Brown who, you know, got up slow every play to make sure that the other team didn't know he was hurt. Like, it's just a different world. It's a different world. They're going to come up, they're going to give you the first down pump, they're going to get up excited, they're going to get a dance. Dexter Lawrence has the best sack dance in the league. The Giants stink. That's the best part of the game is watching Dexter Lawrence do his sexy Dexy dance. That's it. Don't take it away, Dexter. Come on. That's some of the, that's, those are young adults, young men, you know, enjoying being good. That's they need to do more of it. I need more first downs from Breece Hall. Not what he does after the first down. That I don't care about. Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's up? If you wanted to sign Soto and go cheap, you would put Jason Dominguez in center when he's a natural center fielder.
Correct.
Move Judge over to left.
Yep.
Jazz goes from third to second. I don't know why the Yankees haven't done this yet, but you might want to give Giancarlo a first baseman's mitt and see if he could figure that out.
I'm not doing it.
And then you just have to trade for a third baseman.
Yeah, I mean, I would still think about another outfielder because I can't guarantee Dominguez just yet. But you're not wrong. Dominguez in center, Judge in left, or Soto in left, Judge in right. That's your outfield if you get him, and then you figure out either third or second. The only reason why I say that is because they do have some prospects who play second base, so you could leave Jazz at third, who's finding himself defensively there. But now you would need a bopper at first base because now you have real no power profile at third. You're going to need some power profile at first if you have none at third. I know he hit 20 home runs, Jazz, but I don't view him as a power hitter. But, yeah, you could do that. That's what I've been talking about. You got Wells at catcher. You got a cheap option at third, a cheap option at short. You could possibly give a cheap option at second. You're going to have to go out and figure out something with first base, I would think. I don't love Greg Bird, but I mean, Greg, I was talking about Andrew Miller and Greg Bird. I don't love Ben Rice that much. I don't think they'd give him first base. But, like, you could go real cheap all over the place you get Juan Soto, but they won't be good enough. They're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get a first baseman. You have to get a third baseman, probably both. But, yeah, there is a way to go cheap. They have the ability. They have some of the guys.
Yeah, Wells
has answered the question. Dominguez has answered the question. That's what I'm saying. Like, so even if – and then that brings the question of what are they better served to do. Like, if that's what they're going to do. Like, let's say Hal Steinbrenner says – I don't care. We're bringing back Juan Soto. If it costs $800 million, it costs $800 million. Juan Soto is going to be a Yankee. All right, so let's just establish they pay crazy amounts of money for Juan Soto. But then he says, well, now we're cheap everywhere else. And we're looking at Wells at catcher, Chisholm at third, Volpe at short, Peraza at second, Ben Rice in at first base, Dominguez in center, Judge and Soto. Like, is that a team that can win? That's a lot of question marks, a lot of youth, not a lot of definite answers. Are they better doing that, or are they better doing, you know, what they'll tell you is the op? I don't know if they'll spend the money, but you can go get Santander, you can go get Burns, you can go get Christian Walker to play first base. You can spend $50 million spreading it around to three or four players as opposed to giving it all to Juan Soto. That's the next question.
Well, by the way, if they wanted to, speaking of Burns, I know we've talked about this before. If you don't believe that Gerrit Cole would get $36 million a year in 5 years on the open market, which I do not, then you would just give that money to Corbin Burns, maybe even a little less, and get younger in your ace position. But look, I mean, listen, hey, when it comes to Hal, this is not the Yankees have always been doing this lately, is, you know, spending big on a few guys and then going cheap elsewhere. That's correct. Been the MO.
I agree with you. That kind of has been what they've done. When they target someone like Gerrit Cole, they'll go spend the money and outspend everybody else. When they know they have to bring back Judge, they'll pay him big time money. But then when they feel like they have an option, when they have a good option with Hicks in center field, let's give him a long-term $10 million a year contract and not go out and get Bryce Harper, not go out, Andujar at third base. Why would I go out and spend money on Manny Machado? I'm good. Like, that's also, you know, you want to find that core. Because let's be honest, we've just been talking about giving everybody coaching jobs from the 90 team. They didn't go out and buy Derek Jeter. They didn't go out and buy Bernie Williams. They didn't go out and buy Jorge Posada or Andy Pettit. Like, they all came through the farm system. Like, you got to hope. I mean, isn't the best case scenario for this team that they bring back Juan Soto, go cheap, and those answers get answered in the positive, and you see Wells become one of the better hitting catchers in the sport consistently, and you get, you know, Volpe to really emerge as your starting second baseman who can play like he did for a lot of the postseason, minus maybe the first couple games of the World Series? Like, don't you want those answers to be, like, isn't that better than going to spend money on a bunch of different free agents? Isn't it better to have Judge, a homegrown guy, go out and get the one big superstar in Juan Soto, and then have your answers be Peraza, Volpe, Wells, Dominguez? Like, isn't that the ideal situation? To have these homegrown guys step in and, you know, fill your roster and be your next core four? The question is, will they be? Because they tried it with the Baby Bombers and it failed. It failed. But I like that idea. What if Dominguez becomes a superstar? What if Wells is one of the better hitting catchers in the sport? And what if Volpe comes to be at least close to what we thought he could be? And now you've got good defense up the middle with... And you've got a good team up the middle with Wells at catcher, Volpe at short, Dominguez in center, switch hitting power hitter. Like, what if all that works out? Now you're better than you are if you go out and get Santander and Christian Walker. So, I don't know. A lot of questions to be answered. But the first one's Juan Soto. And I'm of the belief he's 26 years old and he is an incredible player. And you don't get a chance to sign 26-year-old incredible players. They have to go do it. I'll worry about how they put the rest of the money around them later. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. 3 hours down, two left to go on our 5-hour ride, our 5-hour midnight ride, all the way to 5 a.m. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll be right back.